All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and with us here is Sully.
Nobody ever heard of him.
Nobody knows who he is.
Come on.
Just another airline pilot managed to show up at Air Venture.
I understand
today.
He wanted to talk to the guy from Whip Air about some floats, though.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Sully, you're working with the Young Eagles now, aren't you?
I'm co-chair with Jeff Skiles, my first officer from the Hudson River flight 3 years ago. We were honored to be asked by Jack Pelton and Harrison Ford, and we said yes, and what an amazing honor, what an amazing opportunity to try to make a difference about the future of aviation in this country.
Are you personally flying Young Eagles?
Yes, and it's a great privilege to do so, and you know, one of the most enjoyable things about it is to share our combined passion about aviation with others, and encourage kids to have what I call real adventures in real life and not just virtual ones.
Are the kids in awe when they realize who they're flying
with? Yeah,
do
they know who you are when they see you?
Some of them do. It depends. Some of the older ones who may have followed the story, of course, it's been 3.5 years now. And,
right.
For some of the younger ones,
But they still tell you to stay away from the river.
You know, I was happy to have that option. You know, it was by far the best one we had.
I was going to say, since that point in time, have you taken up hunting Canada geese for a hobby?
Man.
No, this isn't personal. They were just being geese. They just happened to try to occupy the same airspace that we did at the same time.
That law of physics stuff.
They were, and it was a large flock of big birds. I mean, these are birds that weighed 10 or 12 pounds or more with 5 or 6 foot wingspans, and we hit a whole flock of them across the whole front of the airplane from side to side, wings, nose, and of course into both engines. That was what was so damaging.
I was going to say, see and avoid didn't quite work with the geese that day. They were not watching where they were going.
No. Well, we saw them about 1.5 or 2 seconds before we hit them, but at that point we were traveling 316 feet per second.
Yeah.
So we saw them, you know, well over a football field or 2 football field lengths away, but not enough time to maneuver an airplane.
Well, my flight instructor once told me, never try to avoid a bird because they can outmaneuver you much faster than you can outmaneuver them. Unfortunately, geese being the exception.
Yeah. Obviously. So, are you doing any personal flying these days, or are you just flying strictly with the Young Eagles?
Well, since I retired from the airline about 2.5 years ago, after over 30 years, I have been still following my lifelong passion, my love of flying. And, of course, now I have the ability to fly still pretty substantial airplanes. I've been renting a Commander 690, a twin turboprop, and a Merlin, also a twin turboprop, for some short-range business trips and some family trips. And it's still a lifelong passion. I love it. It's very satisfying, a lot of fun, very convenient, great way to travel.
Have you been inspired to build your own airplane yet?
You know, I don't know that I would trust my ability to build. Of course, with the right mentoring, with the right equipment, I'm sure I could do it. I'm sure I could pick it up. But right now, there's so many opportunities, like being a co-chair of Young Eagles, that I wouldn't have time to devote to it. It would take me 20 years to build an airplane at this rate.
I was going to ask, how busy are you?
My schedule's pretty full. I have right after this, I had an interview at the Welcome Center with Jeff Skiles, book signing there also today, and then some other events later this afternoon.
He's probably far busier than he ever expected to be.
Yeah, no kidding.
Our lives certainly changed in an instant for everybody on the airplane and my family, and I think for us the most, because I am the public face of this event for most people. Even though a lot of people contributed to the great outcome we had that day, I'm the one that people think about for the most part.
In your book, you talked about all the events prior to the flight, preparing you in one way or another to be at that point in time and to be ready for it. And I find that amazing.
Without specifically knowing what the challenge might be.
Right.
I think one of the challenges of flight in general and of being an airline pilot in particular, where we've made it so ultra safe and everything works almost all the time. And we have this robust safety system in which we operate that everybody contributes to that goal. Is that you have to remember what we're really doing when we go up in an airliner is pushing a tube filled with people through the upper atmosphere 7 or 8 miles above the earth in a hostile environment, and we have to bring it safely back to the earth every time. And it's not easy to do. It takes great dedication and skill and knowledge to do that consistently over millions of flights. And so you have to remain vigilant, because you never know on any given day when you might suddenly be challenged with this ultimate situation of a lifetime like we were.
And all we ever complain about is, it's bumpy, it's cold back here. I didn't get
soda. Where are my peanuts?
We've made it routine.
We've made it absolutely very routine. We've made it look easy, even though we know it's really not.
Right. and that's not reflected in the ticket price. But anyway.
Do you miss flying commercial airliners?
You know, I love those airplanes. I mean, I was a fighter pilot in the Air Force, and I was an airline captain for most of my career, and you know, that's such an amazing opportunity to be able to actually do it. It's very cool. But I don't miss the job part of it. I miss the flying. I miss the colleagues. But I don't miss, you know, the grind of it, the 9 to 5, or sometimes the 5 to 9, you know, 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. part of it.
Yeah, being away for 7-8 days at a crack.
Right. And so, you know, now when I work too hard, it's my own fault.
Nobody to blame.
Which is every day, but it's all my fault now.
You keep threatening to talk to the boss, but he's just not been available.
Yeah, I need to talk to my scheduler to do a better job.
Your handler. As a veteran airline pilot, what advice would you give to a pilot who is coming up through the ranks and wants to be a commercial airline pilot?
If it's your passion, if it's your dream, follow your dream, but be willing to work very hard to get there. And I think whether you're a recreational pilot, an occasional pilot, or a professional for a higher pilot, I think my advice would be to approach it with a professional attitude, to come to the airport with a real dedication to doing it, a professional job, give it the respect it deserves. I think that would be my advice, you know, to approach it with a professional attitude, with a full and accurate appreciation of the risk and making intelligent choices about them.
Now, even though today you're flying on average smaller airplanes than the airliners you used to fly, do you still spend the time studying incidents and trying to learn like you did before?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I'm naturally curious about those kinds of things. It's kind of an interest of mine. And I think I feel like I have a professional obligation, you know, or as we used to say at the airline, none of us can live long enough to make all the mistakes ourselves. So we're obligated, we have to make use of the experiences of others. We have to learn from experiences of others. And that's such a wonderful resource to be able to do that. And it's especially important now that aviation has become so safe that we are not constantly being threatened on every flight. We're not constantly finding failures on every trip to the airport. So we have to learn from the experiences of others, because you have to be prepared when it's your turn, when it happens to you.
It brings to mind a quote from a movie with Jimmy Stewart where he says, "It used to be that you took pride in just getting there."
Yeah, really.
I think people expect a little bit more than just getting there these days.
Yeah, exactly.
And we owe it to them to make sure that they get there.
I was going to say, have the airlines, they've probably examined this incident until they're blue in the face, but have they done any changes in the training syllabus that pilots have to go through now because of the accident?
To my knowledge, surprisingly, no. As a matter of fact, I was your previous guest is a board member of the National Transportation Safety Board, and I was very glad to see him here. I was very glad to see that the chairman of the NTSB, Deborah Hersman, was here yesterday. I have a chance to speak with her briefly yesterday.
Hey, we had her dancing.
Good. I'm glad to see it. She probably could do it pretty well. It's really important that we have people who can formalize these lessons and widely disseminate these results. It's something that we all need to do.
One last question here before the break. The airplane is in a museum, I believe, in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I want to say Greensboro.
Greensboro,
I'm
maybe
not sure.
One of those.
We probably
those.
Both. From look on his face, we both got it wrong.
It's at the Carolinas Aviation Museum at the Charlotte Airport.
Okay.
And I didn't finish my answer to your previous question of about 24 recommendations that the NTSB made in its final report on our flight to the Hudson River 3.5 years ago. So far, to my knowledge, none of the recommendations has been adopted by the FAA or by industry. So the NTSB is our independent federal agency to investigate accidents and to make recommendations about how to make the system better. But it's up to the regulator, the FAA, that writes the rules to, and the airlines to adopt the procedures to make it better. And so far, None of them has been, which is a real disappointment to me, and I think to the NTSB.
How about the geese? Have they adopted any of the recommendations?
not to my knowledge. And, you know, like I said, the bird strike problem is one that's increasing. The bird populations have grown. There are resident birds that roost in certain areas, and there are certain things that we can do to try to minimize the threat, including effective land use planning around airports and not allowing to be located near airports. Landfills, garbage facilities, things of that nature, wetlands. But for migratory birds like the geese that we hit, they can essentially be anywhere. In fact, we were, 4 or 5 miles away from the airport at almost 3,000 feet when we struck them. So
They like to fly high.
They can be almost any place.
Where we fly, the airport I used to fly out of, was a grass strip along a cornfield. If you come in at night or dusk or anything, you do a low pass over the field because there may be deer on the field.
Yes.
That's worse. Although, no. Anyway, I digress.
I was going to ask, have you visited or do you have any plans to go and visit your airplane?
I visited a couple of times. I saw it about 5 months after the landing when it was still in the salvage yard in New Jersey. And, of course, the wings and tail had been removed to get it on the barge and transport it through the city streets to where it was residing. And then I saw it again when it first arrived at the Carolinas Aviation Museum at the Charlotte, North Carolina Airport. And I saw it again after it had been, put back together for the most part. And now the wings have been reattached. The engines have been returned to the museum. And so it's on public display.
Have you actually gone in it?
I have gone in it. In fact, I was at an event last year when it arrived at the museum, and some of the passengers and crew from that flight were there and had a chance to go in it and sit in some of their same seats that they occupied on that particular flight.
To be freaky.
Well, yeah. I think it was. But because we had a good outcome, I think for many of them it was a comforting place to be, to know while they had gone through much trauma that day that it was a place that they had survived.
Happy ending.
I think another thing that I got from your book is that you take the duty of captain so seriously that you spent an extra 4 hours at the hospital trying to get confirmation that everybody made it out. And in this day and age when we've seen ship captains literally abandoning their passengers and stuff, I found that amazing. I found that very cool.
One thing that Jeff and I did was to make sure that everyone who needed it was being treated medically, who was injured. We tried to make sure that everyone was accounted for as soon as we could. We had gotten a head count and knew how many people we had to account for, and we made it an effort, a special trip to go to the other hotel where our one injured flight attendant, to the other hospital where our one injured flight attendant was, and see her the day after the landing because she was essentially by herself.
Well, sir, thank you for everything you've done, and thanks for coming to talk to us.
Well, it's great to be here at Oshkosh, and great to be with you. Thank you.